Hi, everybody. This is Gina Murphy Darling, aka Mrs. Green. And this is the first of what I hope to be many of a new podcast series we are going to feature. On the Scene with Mrs. Green, getting to the heart of the matter of what's happening in our world today. I think our listeners want to hear more about what's happening now and not 7 months from now when we get to schedule the show guests. So we hope you like it. And I want to share with you some of my thoughts about the upcoming podcast and what it was like for me personally to prepare for it, what I was feeling, how angry I got in the preparation, and how utterly speechless I was to learn about yet another example of my rights as a citizen of the United States being trampled on. And I'd love to say it was all about Donald Trump, and that would be dishonest and deceitful. It's been happening for 30 years, so you can't point fingers at anybody, or you have to point them at everybody. It's about an agency called FERC. Ever heard of it? I doubt it. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and about what three organizations are doing to put pressure on them to do their damn jobs. From the women I interviewed, I learned a lot. Their names are Karen Faridun from Burke's Gas Truth and Maya Von Rossum from Delaware Riverkeepers. And they really, really know their stuff, and they can wax poetic about what a joke the commission is and what it is not. The bottom line is that FERC is supposed to regulate the interstate transmission of, are you ready, natural gas, oil, and electricity, and also regulate natural gas and hydropower project, like putting in new pipelines. Such an exciting adventure for someone like me. Well, not only are they funded by the very people they are supposed to regulate, laugh, laugh, ha, ha, chuckle, chuckle. Are you ready for this? Because I wasn't. In the past 30 years, they have only denied one, count them on one finger, one permit. They are supposed to keep us safe, which obviously isn't happening. But here's what got to me the most and got me the most upset. And I was on a rant. I'm saying, you've got to be kidding me. Here it is again. They are considering several plans to, here's the word, subsidize coal, gas, and nuclear over renewable energy. So what does that mean? That means those plans would pass rate increases onto the ratepayers for the coal, gas, and nuclear energy industry. Does that really tick you off? Because it got to me. And then here was the final nail in the coffin, or whatever the heck you call it. One of them is a former Mitch McConnell aide and acting FERC chairman, Neil Chatterjee. So I hope you'll listen. I really hope you'll like it. I hope you'll get as upset as I am, and then follow some of the links, see what petitions you can sign, and be aware of it, because the next pipeline could be in your backyard. And if we don't get these people to step up and do their jobs, it could happen to you. It could happen in your neighborhood, because they're stomping states' rights. So we hope you like On the Scene with Mrs. Green, and we'd certainly like to hear from you so that you can tell us what you think. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. Enjoy the podcast. Maya and Karen, thank you so much for joining me today, and let's get right to it. This is getting to the heart of the matter. You are part of three organizations, Burke's Gas, Delaware Riverkeepers, and Green America, and you're asking communities all around the world to tell a federal agency, one paid for by the taxpayers' money, I might add, called FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to stop rubber stamping about just kind of benign, inane things like fracking and oil being transported and pipelines being put in. And you're asking them to get real and actually do their job, part of which is keeping us all safe. So let's start with thank you for doing what you're doing. And how did it come about that you joined forces to shake things up with a federal agency?
Would you like to start, Karen?
Oh, no, go ahead, Maya.
So Karen with Burke's Gas Truth and I, Maya, with the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, have had the unfortunate reality of having to battle against FERC fracked gas pipeline projects for nearly 10 years now. And you know, we had joined forces to battle against fracking, and then, you know, continued our work together, battling these FERC frack gas pipeline projects. These pipeline projects are devastating. Pipeline projects, FERC frack gas pipeline projects that cross interstate lines are regulated by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. This is a commission with overwhelming power and authority when it comes to pipeline approvals, because under the Natural Gas Act, almost all state and federal authorities are preempted, and the power is actually turned over to FERC. The states do have a sliver of power that remains with them through the Clean Water Act, which does give them the opportunity to say no to a pipeline project, but only in relatively limited circumstances. FERC is incredibly abusive in how it uses its power. And long story short, in 30 years, since FERC has been entirely funded by the industries it's supposed to be regulating, including these pipeline projects, FERC has denied only one pipeline project brought before its commissioners.
In 30 flipping years. Okay, just talk about getting me. I'm so ticked off about this topic that I cannot calm down, and I don't want to, and I'm so glad you're here. Karen, do you want to add anything to that egregiousness?
Well, I would add, and Maya just referred to this, and it's a bit of a correction to something that you said at the beginning. Unfortunately, the taxpayers don't pay their salaries. The problem with FERC, one of the many problems with FERC, is that they charge fees of the companies that they're supposed to be regulating, and that makes them independent of any sort of oversight in terms of their budget. So they get money from the government at the beginning of the year basically to get started, but then they reimburse that and then some. So they take lots and lots of money, and they have an additional problem of coziness with the industry because of the amazing revolving door that spins between FERC and the industry, so that these very same employees who are supposed to be overseeing pipelines and protecting the public and doing the public's, you know, will, they go and work for these pipeline companies, and they go back and forth. And so, you know, pipeline companies are more than thrilled to have people who are up on all the regulations come work for them. And so it creates this very almost unhealthy relationship between the companies and the regulators. And so, once they're partners, guess who loses? The rest of us.
It's just a joke. When I was reading about it, it's like, oh, here's another joke, and the joke's on us. And I just want to read something, because I want people to get as ticked off and as angry and as victimized. I feel like I'm a victim in this. When I read this, since getting their quorum back, FERC has approved new pipelines and considered several plans to subsidize. That's when I lost it. Coal, gas, and nuclear over energy. Renewable energy, right? Seriously. Thankfully, they rejected a ham-handed, I don't even know what that means, attempt by Energy Rick Perry, Secretary of Energy, I'm so glad I get to laugh, to charge ratepayers billions, ratepayers, to subsidize the dirtiest energy in our electric grid. But despite that, some groups declaring victory, FERC's rejection of Senator Perry's plan was not a repudiation of concept. Like, I thought, oh, that's good. In fact, they're already considering two additional plans that would subsidize. Is everybody hearing that? Coal, nuclear, and fracked gas. Do you want to look at any of their balance sheets and their earnings per share and how much money they're making? One of them, ready? From former Mitch McConnell aide and acting FERC chairman Neil Chatterjee. I could have so much fun with that whole thing, which is a perfect segue to, you know, there's don't get mad, get even, or don't get mad, do something about it. And that's what you guys are doing. So what happened on January 18th?
So January 18th, Karen and I have helped found and lead a collaboration of over 200 organizations from across the nation. These are community groups that are fighting these FERC fracked gas pipeline projects, as well as compressor stations and LNG export facilities that also fall under the authority of FERC. And we are constantly trying to reform the law, reform the way FERC is funded, to try to change the dynamics so that We actually take power away from FERC and we give it back to the states and back to the people. We've been working on this for a couple of years now, and last week on Thursday we had just another in one of our efforts to highlight the abuses of power and law that are experienced at FERC. We did an action at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission urging the FERC commissioners to hold a hearing where they will hear from the communities that are impacted by these pipeline projects, hear the way that these communities are actually being abused by FERC and by the FERC process, so they as commissioners can really try to put in place some reforms. We did this because the new FERC commissioner announced in December that the agency was actually going to do a review of its pipeline review and approval process. But we have no idea how, when, or if the public will ever have an opportunity to give input into that process, so we decided to create our own input. So we went there with a list of demands. One of them is for FERC to begin the entire process with these hearings, listening to the people, and then also to put in place a number of critically needed reforms that we had identified over the years as a result of our experiences with FERC. I just want to let everybody know, you know, we are active and we are engaged and we are trying to change the landscape when it comes to these FERC frack gas pipeline projects. But when we showed up on Thursday to deliver our demands, to actually try to hand them to the commissioners during their public meeting and try to post them on the door of FERC, on both fronts, we were prevented from delivering these demands because we knew in advance and we experienced at the time that FERC really has no interest in hearing what the people have to say. As Karen explained, they are totally in the pockets of the industry. So we went there to make a good faith effort to deliver our message last week on Thursday, fully expecting to be thwarted by the commission, by the commissioners, and frankly, by all the police and security they had on hand to thwart our efforts. And so in the end, really had to focus on trying to raise the profile of what was happening at FERC through this demonstration that we held on Thursday, inviting the press, speaking to the press, videotaping the entire event and trying to put it out on social media to, again, try to just highlight the abuses of power and law that we all experience at the hands of FERC.
It is the abuse of power. So tell me honestly, both of you, is there a chance? Are they impenetrable? Are they untouchable? What can we do? I am so sick and tired of feeling helpless and feel like all of my human rights are being stomped on. And half the time, we don't even know it. We are not privy to the conversation. And decisions like this, I don't want to give 5 cents of my rate paying to any of this. I want to be asked. I want to be asked where my money is going. And it just, is there hope? Give me some hope here, people.
Well, you know, I'll say that even though FERC is still news to a lot of people, it's increasingly making its presence into the headlines because of the work that we've done and the work that other groups have done that we collaborate with. There's another group of groups called Beyond Extreme Energy that group has been traditionally focused on FERC and disrupting their meetings and getting a lot of press as a result of, you know, the attention that they've given to this otherwise pretty unknown agency. And all of our work, you know, working with them and working on our own to go after Congress to try to get them to hold hearings and to you know, have press events and to do the kind of press conferences that occurred on Thursday and to everything we can do to, you know, raise awareness of the fact that this entity exists and that they function as they do has really changed the amount of awareness people have overall. They're making it into the press a lot more. They're getting covered more, and that helps us to expose them for what they are. So I do think there's hope. I think, you know, there's some kind of activity we've been seeing across the board, you know, with the Indivisible movement and all the things that have occurred in the past year, especially, you know, where people are understanding that they need to be participants in our democracy. it just makes it harder for these people to hide with everybody starting to pay attention. And still, there are just so many agencies and so many things going wrong that you have to highlight every single one of them.
That's the truth. I mean, my show producer said I should not use profanity on the air, but it's like hashtag you know what show every day. There's another show. Just tune in to your news station and find out. But so I want to get
Can
this.
Can I just chime in?
Oh,
with
totally.
One really quick thing?
Totally.
Yeah. So one of the things that that it's really important to recognize with FERC, and I'm totally with Karen. Karen and I are totally aligned on everything. And there is hope. But it's a lot of hard work, and we've got a lot of hard work ahead of us, to make change. One of the things that it's important to recognize when it comes to FERC, to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, is their abuses of power and law aren't new. They are a result of
right.
the Trump administration or what's
right.
happening right now in government. As I said, FERC commissioners have only denied one pipeline project in 30 years. And all of these abuses where FERC uses legal loopholes to put people into legal limbo, preventing them from challenging in the courts an approved pipeline project before FERC gives the power of eminent domain to the pipeline company so that that pipeline company can take their property rights, before people can challenge an approved pipeline project from beginning construction, like cutting down forests. That are precious to people and certainly precious to our environment. These kinds of abuses, undermining states' rights and the limited authority that states have to actually say no to a FERC frack gas pipeline project, these abuses have been going on for decades, and they are going on. They went on under the Obama administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration. You could keep going back, Democrat or Republican. These kinds of abuses have been taking place. So we are dealing with long-time systemic problems at this agency that have gone unrecognized and unaddressed by every political party. And we are coming together in all of our efforts to say, no more. And we don't care what your politics are. We need some champions to rise up with us and reform this agency. And reforming this agency actually means reforming the law. We need to reform the Natural Gas Act. And we have been looking for several years now for a champion in Congress. We don't care what their political party is, but an elected official, a member of Congress who is willing to write a letter, issue a press release, make a public statement that they agree with us that FERC is inappropriately abusing its power, abusing the law in ways that are stripping people and states of their rights, and that congressional hearings need to be held to investigate these abuses of power, to investigate the incredibly biased nature of the agency and that employee revolving door that Karen talked about, and to hold these congressional hearings to investigate these abuses in order to identify reforms that we then need to pursue and put in place by reforming the Natural Gas Act. That's sort of the long picture, as well as just the near-term goal of that we've outlined for ourselves, with the first step being get some congressional champions willing to speak up on behalf of the people, speak up on behalf of the environment, and finger FERC for an abusive agency in need of reform, speak up for congressional hearings, help us secure those hearings, help us identify those reforms, and then championing, putting those reforms into place through legislation.
And it's just to me, I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is not a Trump issue. And believe me, on any given day, it's very easy for me to go in that direction. But what you're talking about is the depth and breadth and how insidious this is. It's a long-term thing that nobody's been wanting to take on or look at. Man, I am just so happy to hear this. And look at me. I've been doing this for 10 years, 10 and a half years, and know a lot about a lot of things, and I never heard of FERC. And I've done many shows on fracking and all of those issues. Winona Howder from Food and Water Watch. I mean, it's a big deal for me. And I wrote a blog once called We've Been Fracked, and I lost a major client from it. And I called the head of this guy, the vice president of the company, and said, are you joking? you have children and fracking is bad and you don't have to get your natural gas from agencies that do this. So I'm all in. So what are your next steps? Keep the pressure on, keep going, find a champion. You know, you all have jobs, but what's your next step?
Well, you know, the abuses aren't new. Congress's refusal to pay attention to the abuses aren't new. So thanks to the Delaware Riverkeeper Network that Maya heads and all the groups working together, but especially her organization for coordinating a people's hearing in Washington, D.C. 2 Decembers ago, we now have a dossier of all of the abuses that were given to us by people who testified that day who have been living with these specific abuses. So they're very, very well documented, and that's one of the reasons why we're going after the one thing that is new, and that's the dog and pony show that these new commissioners are talking about putting on to make it look like they're actually going to reform themselves. But, you know, when we know that these are 4 new commissioners out of 5, it's a 5-member panel, 4 of them are new, and they're all appointed by Trump. And so when we see that it's people like Neil Chatterjee who are now on the FERC Commission, it doesn't give us a lot of hope that they're going to take this reform process in earnest. And so that opens the door for us to once again go back to Congress and say, look, it's time. One of the things that has been really great in the past few months is that the courts have been finding that, for instance, FERC hasn't been paying adequate attention to the cumulative impacts of these pipelines. So it's not just the pipeline itself, but it's the fracking on the other end. It's the methane leaks that contribute to climate change. You know, they need to be paying attention to this. The courts are starting to say so. And so it's getting harder and harder for Congress, I would hope, to just continue to ignore this, because, you know, I think it's one of those issues that, you know, thanks to the Trump administration pulling out of Paris, a lot more people are paying attention to climate now. So when you can connect FERC to climate, I think we're starting to get into some area of comfort zone for some Congress people who do feel strongly about climate change and do feel like we need to take action. And so, you know, we just always have to look for those openings. And so I think this dog and pony show that they've presented us with is a great one. And the fact that it, you know, sort of synchronizes so nicely with all of the work that people are starting to do on climate just, you know, makes it seem more possible to me, but I'm sort of a cockeyed optimist, but it makes it seem more possible to me that we will actually get some sort of congressional champion if we just keep pressing and working hard like we always have to do.
Yeah, I think it's, I used to be an optimist too, and now those days are harder. It's more challenging these days for the past year. So what I'd like to do to wrap up is there is a call to action. There's a petition that can be signed. It will be on our website. A lot of people listen to us when they're driving, but that will be on Back to FERC with New Demands. We'll put all of your contact information on there for Delaware Riverkeeper, Berks Gas Truth, and Green America. And all I can say is from the bottom of my very green and passionate heart, thank you. I hear the fire in your belly. I will now be part of the change I wish to see in this regard and be watching it. And thanks for taking the time to be on the scene with Mrs. Green.
Thank you so much for having us.
Go ahead.
If anybody's fighting a pipeline, you know, who's listening to this and doesn't know where to turn, didn't know that we were part of the fight, you know, definitely get in touch with us. We want a partner because, you know, collectively we have a lot of power. And so it's really good to connect with people who are, you know, confronted with their own issues in their communities.
Yeah, the hope for me is that it's now a national coalition, which makes me beyond Extreme Energy, Delaware Riverkeeper Network, Green America, and it makes me inspired because the states are sick of getting their rights stomped on. And what that gives me hope, too. They're like, no, you're not the bully in the schoolyard. We're going to fight back. We're going to take a stand because this is our state and we have to live here. So thank you so much, Karen and Maya, for taking the time and for what you're doing. It matters so much to me and thousands and millions of others. We just don't know it yet. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.